Well, it is a delight, just a joy to be able to be here with you today at St. John's here in Jackson. I was thinking as I was driving here yesterday, it just struck me how much I miss this place. And it also struck me kind of what a full circle moment this is, because it was here at this parish where I first kind of cut my teeth and sort of saw what it was really like to be a priest and discern the priesthood back in 2015. And now I'm here as a deacon preaching to you all. So just thank you for your hospitality and for your prayers and support over these years. So Jesus speaks to us today in the parable of the sower, and this parable is undoubtedly one of the most iconic parables in the Gospels. When we hear the word parable or we think of one of Jesus' parables, this was usually the parable we think of, the parable of the sower. And as I listen to this parable, I think the Lord wants to ask us a question. He's inviting us to ponder this question as we hear the parable. And the question is, do you want feast or famine? So an outright famine where the crops fail or there's some disease of the herd or something is something that is pretty rare here in the Western world and here in America. And thanks be to God for that, that in a lot of ways, this is the land of plenty, and we're very blessed because of that. But in our material abundance, there's a spiritual poverty that goes along with that. And I think we all have a sense of this. I think St. Teresa of Calcutta, when she came to America, when she visited, she noticed this pretty much right away and commented on it frequently, that in America we have all this material abundance, but ironically enough, there's a kind of a spiritual poverty in there. She described it as a poverty of spirituality or a hunger for love, a hunger for God. And Jesus today is showing us what we need to do to fill that hunger, that spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger is fed with spiritual food, with spiritual fruit. And Jesus tells us what we need to do as disciples to bear this fruit, to feed us spiritually. We bear fruit as disciples when we are rooted in Christ. And this being rooted in Christ and bearing fruit comes with an obligation, and it comes with blessings, right? The obligation is to tend the soil of our hearts, but the blessing or the fruit is God's love, his care, his providence outside, and Christ's peace inside. So let's talk a bit first about the obligation that we have to bear fruit as disciples, this obligation to tend the soil of our hearts. And what that really means when it comes down to it, how we tend the soil of our hearts, is by living under the lordship of Christ. So if we want to bear fruit in our lives, then we really need to accept the lordship of Jesus in a total way, in a radical way. And what that means is that Jesus needs to be the Lord of our thoughts and our words and our actions and deeds, and even our feelings. So if there's a part of our hearts that's maybe wounded, maybe there's pain from things in the past, and it's just darkness there, and Jesus has never been invited into that, Jesus wants to enter that. Jesus wants to be the Lord of that darkness even. He wants to go into that because he wants to free all of us from the forces of evil, from this darkness, from that having dominion and control over us. And then also, of course, Jesus being the Lord over everything means that we act as if he is the Lord. That means that we act in a way that we know would make him proud if he was watching, and he is watching. We act in a way that we know is in conformity with what it means to be his disciple. So our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions, they all glorify God. They come from a good heart, from good moral character. And Jesus tells us what happens if we choose not to let him be the Lord of our hearts, of our lives, our hearts become affected and they kind of turn into the soil that Jesus described in the gospel we heard. Our hearts, they might become hard, right? And that's the rocky soil. And then the kingdom of God really can't get very deep because it's hard. The surface is hard. Or our hearts become so filled with evil thoughts that there's no more room for Jesus, or at least not as much room as he wants, as much room as there could be or should be. Or we become anxious, right? We become anxious and that anxiety starts to become these thorns in our heart that choke the word of God before it can even bear any fruit. And I feel especially moved to speak a little longer about anxiety, given the current state of affairs, given the way the world is right now and where our world and our country is at this juncture in history. It's very, very easy and very tempting to become very, very anxious. And you know, there's such a thing as legitimate concern and kind of, you know, legitimate tending to matters and trying to fix problems. But then there's this very unhealthy anxiety where we start to spin around in our heads and it kind of consumes us. And the thing with anxiety like that is that it's never from God, and it actually distracts us from God. And it's a burden that Jesus does not want us to carry, because such anxiety is basically fruitless, right? Like, worrying never fixes any problems. And in fact, it'll only cause kind of more problems, honestly. Like, it'll give you high blood pressure or something. So Jesus wants us to be free of that. And, you know, here I preach to myself, and I acknowledge that it's very tempting for me to be very anxious sometimes. But when that happens in me, it's just a reminder for me to turn it to Jesus, because when I do that, I'm really acknowledging that Jesus is actually the Lord, and I believe that. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in absolute control, and he wants me to give him my problems so that he can handle them. And in that, there's freedom. There's freedom as a beloved son, beloved daughter of God. So I've talked a bit here about what we have to do to bear this fruit. But what is the fruit that we bear? The gospel, if you remember, Jesus says, "He that has, more will be given." So we have, we're the ones who have when we're living under the lordship of Jesus. But what's the more that we're given? What's the fruit? What are the blessings of a life of discipleship? Well, I mentioned at the start of the homily what that fruit is. It's Christ's peace within and God's providence without. Or to put it another way, Christ's peace inside of us and God's providence, his loving care outside of us. So, speaking about the peace that Jesus gives us, it's the peace that the world cannot give. Some of you may recall that I was not raised a Catholic. I'm a convert here. I converted when I was 16 from Mormonism. I'm very grateful for that because I can drink coffee now. Part of what drove that conversion was this search for peace, right? Like, there are all these things on the surface that kind of pretended to give me peace, and I even maybe looked to some of those things to give me peace, and maybe there was kind of this surface peace, right? But deep down, I was unsettled. I was deeply unsettled, and I was searching for peace. And maybe some of us here have had that experience as well, of searching for that deep peace that the world cannot give. And it was that very thing that drove me to search for the truth and drove me to become Catholic and to give my life to Jesus and the church. And he certainly has, after that, given me that peace that I was looking for, this peace that the world cannot give. And as Jesus has done for me, he really longs to do for all of you. Jesus longs to give you that peace that the world cannot give. And he gives it freely to whomever is willing to accept it. And, you know, part of this peace is also the fact that we get to experience God's care, his providential care outside of us. So we've all had the experience of needing something or thinking we needed something, and we prayed and we asked God, and we didn't get what we prayed for. I've had that experience. And often enough, I look back and I thank God that he didn't give me what I was asking for, because in retrospect, I realize that it was better that I not get it, and that he had a better plan for me. But God wants to provide for us, and he wants to provide for those things that we legitimately need. And so if you're lacking something and you think you need it, you genuinely need it, you should ask God for it in expectant faith, because God, our Father, is a good Father, and he loves to bless his children with gifts, right? And we're all his children. We're, through baptism, we are forever his sons and his daughters. That's a very powerful thing, right? It's like branded on our souls. It can't be taken away. This mark that identifies us as his sons and daughters. And because of that, God wants to bless us. He loves to bless us. And so when we ask for things and expect in faith, we should be ready to be patient. Sometimes God gives us an answer right away. Sometimes he's very slow about it, but when he's slow, it's an invitation for us to be persistent, right? Because God loves it when we're persistent. In fact, he almost wants us, basically, he wants us to harass him sometimes. You think of the parable of the persistent widow, and the persistent widow, this is exactly what she did. She harassed the judge until the judge heard her prayer, and I mean, in a sense, so the judge in that parable is wicked. He's not a good man. God is very good. And that kind of drives the point home even more, that if that type of persistence would work for someone who's wicked, how much more for God? So he wants us to be persistent. He treasures that persistence. And in that persistence in our prayer, God will provide for us. And I know I can testify to this, that in all kinds of ways, in big ways and in small ways, God has provided for me. And often enough, it's actually brought me to tears, because like, he cares about everything. He cares about the little things and the big things, about me. So God wants us all to bear much fruit, and the fruit is Christ's peace within us and God's providence outside of us. And this fruit is a result of being rooted in Christ, of living under his lordship. And one person who did this perfectly, who's an excellent model of this for us, is none other than the Blessed Virgin Mary. She perfectly models this for us, because she perfectly accepted the word of God into her and literally bore the greatest fruit ever, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. So let's close by asking for her prayers. O Mary, Queen of heaven and earth, pray for all of us gathered here today, that your Son may help us to accept his lordship, so that we may all bear fruit that will last. Amen.